The pasuk says, "V'asaf ish tahar eis efer ha'para." A man who is tahar will gather the ash of the para. V'hiniach michutz l'machaneh b'makayim tahar. He will deposit it michutz l'machaneh b'makayim tahar in a place that is pure. V'ha'isa ladas b'nei Yisrael l'mishmeres. It will be for the Jewish people as a guarding l'mei nidah, waters of purification. Chatasi. This is a chatas. Now, before we go further, let's just do one thing at a time. The word nida. Over here, the word nida. Nida normally means banishment. It means a woman who is a nida. And a nida means a woman who is tmeya. Yet here, the same exact word is used, nida, as purification. Now, I didn't spend time looking into this, but we have to appreciate that every word, it means, it's always understood in its opposite extremes. Usually, that is accompanied by a change in the vowels. The classic example is yishrosh yisharesh, to take root and to uproot. There are many examples. Miriam, what does it mean, Miriam? What is the name? Anyone have any Miriams in their life? Anyone have any related to Miriam? Miriam, not just Samantha, you know, there's more than just Samantha out there. Miriam literally means bitter. Mar li umotze ani es ho'isha. Mar mimoves. Yeah? Umotze ani es ho'isha. Are there any women listening to my share of you? Any women listening? Umotze ani es ho'isha. Mar mimoves. Bitter. But the word mar, how then can...
Why do you have to scold a Miriam for she's mar, right?
So how could... I hear what you're saying. You're saying a good vart. By the Shev Brachas. By the Shev Brachas. I have to talk about that. By the next Shev Brachas of a girl named Miriam. We'll say that. We'll say, why did the parents call her Miriam? Mar. She's already in Isha. So Isha Mar Mimoves. The statement of the obvious. What a good kash at the beginning of Shev Brachas for a girl named Miriam. And the answer is, it's not mere, it's not...
It just proves the point that if you were confined in Corona,
yeah,
it mattered worse than if you were at Corona.
If you survive. The survivors have it worse.
Because, yeah, you survive.
Okay, but the answer is mar. Mar is bitter, but mere means sweet. Sweet. Okay. It's the same word. The same word is used in its extremes. So just as mar means bitter, when you manipulate the dots under the word, it turns from bitter to sweet. Not only was she sweet, he didn't call her mir, like mir. He called her Miriam, the plural. In yeshiva, mir yeshiva, they only called the yeshivas mir, mir. Mir means sweet. Now, Mir is the name of a town, obviously. It's the name of a town. It's a Polish word. I don't even know. I have no idea what it means. It's a Polish town somewhere in Lithuania. Not Polish. Lithuania. Lithuanian city. I don't even know where it is. It was a city. It was a shtot, a city called Mir. But it's interesting that in Hebrew, Mir means sweet. And Amram was not satisfied to call her sweet. She's very sweet. That's why he added the yud and the mem, mir yom b'lushan rabim, a lot of sweetness. Mir means just b'lushan yachid, just one ingredient of sweetness. She is full of sweetness. Mir yom yud mem connotes plural. Now that's a good example where the dots have been manipulated. Chalitza's hanoal. We say in the birchas Rosh Chodesh. Chaim shel chilutz atzamos. What does that mean? Chilutz atzamos. How do you translate those words? The word chalitza means to untie, to undo, to loosen. Do you want your bones to be loose, or do you want your bones to be firmly put in their socket? You want them to be firmly put. It's the same word. Chalitza means to loosen. When you manipulate the vowel from chalitza to cholutz, what's the word? Chalitzas at I just said it a second ago. At Samais, when you say the word, the same exact word at Samos on Birchas Rosh Chodesh, you manipulate it. It turns into the strengthening of the bones, not the loosening. It's the same. Now here is another example. We have to really, and I have to go look at the word nida, but nida here means purification. The word nida here is purification. Even though the word nida is also selected to refer to a woman who is a nida, a woman who has a release of dam, which makes her tameya until she has 7 days and a mikvah. So you see over here another example that we have one word can mean the complete opposites. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tes, v'niach michutz l'machne, an ish tahar, will take the bones, he will take the, will take the ash, and will bring it michutz l'machne, Rashi, l'shlesha chalukim mechalka. This is a very important Rashi. Rashi says that that the ash was divided into three portions. Echad nasan b'har ha-mishcha, one portion was brought to Har HaZesim. Har HaMishcha means Har HaZesim. The Echad Mischalek L'chol HaMishmaros. One portion was distributed among all of the Mishmaros of the Kohanim. The Echad Nosan Bachel. One was put in the Chel. Chel is the area right before you come into the Azara. Right before you come into the Azara, there was available ash of para adum. Now, what's the purpose? So Rashi continues to explain. Zeshel mishmarais haya chutz lazara litol nimenu b'nei hoayorites v'chol hatzrichim litahitoher. The portion of para aduma that was given to the mishmarais, given to the kohanim, was entrusted with the kohanim. It was outside of the azara, which seems to be it was on the har habayis. Little mimenu b'nei ayarais, anyone that came to visit the Beis HaMikdash, they would come and they would take from this ash and they would use it. V'chol ha-nitzrachim lihitoher, it was for the public. The Kohanim were entrusted with distributing para aduma ash for the tahara of the entire Klal Yisrael. They had it in their possession. You make an appointment with your local Kohen, and he will give you some of the ash where you can take it home and you can mix it with water and you can sprinkle upon your body and you will be tar from Tumas Meis. V'zeh shebahar ha-mishcha, the ash that was stored on Har HaZesim, kohanim gedolim leparois acheros mekadshin heimena. That was put aside for the next paraduma. In the history of Klal Yisrael, there were only nine. So far we have a tradition. Only nine times in our entire history was this procedure, this ceremony done. Nine times. The 10th Parah Aduma will be when Mashiach will come. And over here Rashi is telling us an incredible Chiddush. Where this comes from, it's obviously Al-Pi Kabbalah, that the Lazar, the Skan Kohen Gadol, before he would prepare the next Parah Aduma, he would first purify himself. He would take the ash that was there on Har HaMishcha. Where would they burn the par? The par aduma was slaughtered, and its blood was sprinkled and was burnt on Har HaZesim. In the location where they would prepare the next par aduma, in that location, the Skan Kohen Gadol would purify himself. He would take the ash that's been safeguarded in this location since the last paraduma. He would take from that ash, mix it with water, sprinkle it upon himself on day 3 and day 7, come back on day 7, and then go to the mikvah again, and then proceed to burn the next paraduma. So in other words, it was a continuous cycle. Now, even though the truth is, it's always a continuous cycle, because no matter where you bring the ash, if I bring the ash to the Harabayis or to the Kohanim, anyway, it's a continuous cycle. No, there's more to it. By leaving the ash in the same location where you actually burnt the Parah Aduma, when the time comes years later, generations later, to repeat the process, to make a new Parah Aduma, it's a direct continuation of the cycle. It's like the Shalsheles Hayuchsin. We burned a Par Aduma here on this spot, let's say 300 years ago. The time now has come where we need to produce more ash. The ash has been depleted. So the new Skan Kohen Gadol comes forward to make the new Par Aduma. The first thing he does is he pays homage to the old Par Aduma, to the previous Par Aduma. You know, it's like Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdalos, an inauguration. You ever watch the inauguration of the President of the United States? So the outgoing President of the United States, he comes. With Trump, you never know. Trump doesn't seem to follow any rules. But it's always been min hanimos teracheretz, is that the old, you know, there's a ceremony. I remember the last pair ceremony. Trump came with his wife. They first come early in the morning to the White House. And Obama and Michelle were makabel Trump and Melania, and right away the media, they analyzed, remember, they analyzed that Trump, he got out of the car, he didn't even close the door for his wife, he runs ahead, like he totally, no manners, he never had any training for shidduchim. A boy goes on a date, they tell you, you know, you have to open the door for the girl, you have to close the door, you have to be nice. Trump, he never went out on a shidduch, he never had shidduch training. He comes in front of a ganze Welt. A billion people are watching. He gets out of the limousine with his wife. He doesn't open the door for his wife. He doesn't close the door for his wife. He runs into the White House and he leaves her there, stranded there in the back. And the whole world, what a meshugana, what a vilda man. Couldn't even make believe for the camera and his own inauguration. But what am I trying to say over here? Is that the outgoing president is there. There's the changing of the guards. That's exactly what's taking place over here by the Par Aduma. They burn the Par Aduma, they leave the ash in this location on the Har HaZeisim, and they leave it there. They leave it right there in that location. Then, let's say 300 years later, when the time comes to repeat the cycle, to go to the next generation, you continue where you left off. You take that leftover ash from 300 years ago from the previous Par Aduma, and you use it to purify yourself before you proceed to prepare a new Par Aduma. It's like you're showing respect. I want to pay homage to the Skan Kohen Gadol who prepared the last Par Aduma. He's long gone. He died long ago. He's in another world. But when the new Skan Kohen Gadol comes forward, it's a display of respect. Look what we have here. The ash of the old Par Aduma. Let me give honor to the old Skan by me first purifying myself in his ash. And then we'll go further to go into the next generation. Yeah.
It seems they split it a third, a third, a third.
Not necessarily. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says a third. It says, L'shlosha chalokim. If it would say L'shlish, then I would agree it's a third. It says the three portions. It could very well be they put a teeny, teeny amount on the harization. You don't need, of course. You need it for one person. You only need for the next Kohen Gadol. All you need is just a teeny amount. A teeny amount for the next Kohen Gadol. It doesn't say L'shlish. If it would say L'shlish, a third, then you're right. It says L'shalosh. L'shalosh. So they would put a little teeny token they put on the Harabayas, and I guess the bulk of it was given to the Kohanim, because the Kohanim would distribute it to the whole Klal Yisrael, and then the third Vezesh HaMishra Kohanim Gadol Lepas Lachel Lepas Lachel Vezesh HaMishra. Okay, I'm going to put everyone on some background noise here that's making a little too much sound. I think Mary, you're here twice, right? Mary is here twice. How many times? No, I was only here once, but somebody's here. Like, further. It's a beautiful idea. This is a very beautiful Rashi. I remember last year on Friday, we spoke about this Rashi. Exactly. I just told you over here with that whole shiur on Friday is that you pay homage, you have respect for the outgoing president, for the outgoing, you have to show respect. The Kohen Gadol is in charge of the Tahira of Klal Yisrael. When you're coming now to renew the Tahira, you have to show respect to your predecessor. I thought Obama, when he said his inaugural, I thought it was disgusting. Listen, Trump, Trump is Trump. He doesn't play by the books. He was also not so nice. But Obama, when he became president, he stood there with George W. And the contrast in the midos of George W. versus Obama was awesome. After Obama became the president, over and over did George W. state, for the, how many months was it, from October until January 20th? When is voting day? November? When is it November? So from the time that Obama, I remember this very clearly, this was like, what, 15 years ago, whatever it was? I remember very clearly, when Obama won, George W., he didn't like him, he didn't want him to win, he couldn't stomach him. What he won? And he was extremely gracious. I don't think there was ever a president in the United States, not that I know, as I really know, but he was extremely gracious. Every time he spoke publicly, we have a transition team. We're going to give him everything that he needs to succeed. We want him to succeed. He's the president. And he was very kind. He was very, very gracious. Extremely gracious. To the extreme. In every public statement and the way he conducted himself. Obama. Okay, I don't want to say what I was about to say on my mind. The word that was on my mind. He was just disgust, nasty. He gets up there at the inauguration. He snubbed George W. He didn't mention him once in his speech. Honestly, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose by being gracious? You're the president now. You can do whatever you want. You have 8 years, 4 years to change the world. What does it hurt you to say, I want to thank the administration, the president, his administration for being so kind to provide for us a smooth transition and to acknowledge your accomplishments? What do you have to lose? You're losing something. You're going to lose the vote in 4 years from now by having good midos? It was just so glaring. It was so glaring how nasty and what a para adam. It's a pegara. That's how I took it. Listen, Trump, when Trump became president, he wasn't much better. He was a little better, not much. At least he spoke very short. At least his whole inauguration speech was about 10 minutes. Obama spoke for 40 minutes. Total nonsense. Trump spoke for 10 minutes, nonsense. Toiv ma'at meharbe. When it comes to nonsense, toiv ma'at shlei bekavona meharbe shlei bekavona. Okay, but in any event, what does it hurt you to be gracious to your predecessor when you are replacing him? This Rashi is gold. It is absolutely out of this world, out of the ballpark home run, this Rashi. Rashi here, we have here a new Sagan Koyein Gadol, a new generation. It can be, we know there were only in our history 9 times that they made a Para Aduma. The new Skan, he comes. Ah, I am now going to prepare a new Para Aduma. I am going to be responsible for the Tahira of Gantz Klal Yisrael for the next 300 years. What does he do first? He pays homage. He shows the ultimate Derech Eretz to his predecessor. He goes to the same spot where his predecessor burned the previous Paraduma 300 years ago, and he does the most beautiful thing. He is now Mitahir himself with the ash from the previous Skan Kohen Gadol on the spot where the previous Skan Kohen Gadol prepared the Paraduma. It's awesome. It's an incredible thing. This drasha is a perfect drasha for a person who becomes a rabbi. Become a rabbi, or you become a president of a university, you become a president of the United States, and to say over this Rashi, and to explain it, and then to go weiter, and then to build upon that, and to thank whoever came before you, and to show them respect. Because that's exactly what it says of you. It's an incredible thing. V'zeh shebahar ha-mishchar. Read those words again. We're on Pasuk Tes. We're reading Parsha Skukas Perek Yutes Pasuk Tes. V'zeh, the portion of Esh that was put in safekeeping on Har HaZesim, Koyhanim Gedoylim Leporois Acherois, in the future when they would need to make another Paraduma, Mikatshin Heimena, to show respect to the predecessor before you go into the next cycle. Okay, what about the third portion? V'zeh shebechel nosan l'mishmeres, was put away for safekeeping. They put a third portion of Afer, was put away l'mishmeres, m'gzeres hakosav shenemar v'hoysal ladas b'nei Yisrael, to fulfill this pasuk l'mishmeres, for safekeeping. It sounds almost like the man. Just like the man, the man was put away for safekeeping. It was put away for safekeeping inside the Kodesh HaKodashim with the Matei Aaron. On the Chel, outside the Beis HaMikdash, they put away for safekeeping a portion of Efer Para Aduma. You know, yesterday,
For the man, didn't they put it away as a Zecher, and here it seems to be for another reason, which I don't know.
It's the same word. I don't know the answer. It's the same word. It says l'mishmeres. It says the same word by the man as it says over here. You know, yesterday in the daf, Mark, you learned the daf. It says there that they found the Sefer Iyov, Abba Chalafta. And what did they do with the Sefer Iyov that was not written in Lashon HaKodesh? It was written in a different language. So there were three opinions as what they did with it, what you should do with it. And in that story, they put it in the Chel, they put it in Geniza under a row of bricks. Did it say they were in the Chel? Maybe not. Also, like they put it away. They put it away in storage. It seems like this territory by the Har Habayis was like a storage facility for certain very special things. All right, let's go further. Next, Lemei Nida. What does mean Lemei Nida? The water of purification. Rashi says, Lemei Hazoya, to sprinkle. Kemo Vayadu Even B. Now the word Vayadu, he's going to the Targum. Okay, the Targum says, look at the Targum. Lemei Nida Ado Yusa. The Dalid, the key words are the yud is the dalid yud, va yadu. Yadu means they threw. Va yadu even b. It says in Eicha they cast, they threw, they shot a stone at me. When you sprinkle, you're throwing water. That's why the Targum translates lemei nida, water that is sprinkled. The Targum. Lemei nida, lemei ado yusa, water that is thrown, that is cast. Liados eskarnos goyim. Liados means to throw down, to cast down, to lower down the horns, the pride of the nations. Lishoin zirika, to throw down. This means to throw down. That's the word of lemei. So Rashi here translates the word lemei nida, not like I translated for you. I translate the word nida means purification water, and I gave you this elaborate drasha that nida ordinarily means contamination. A woman who is a nida is contaminated. She's banished. She is sent away. In ancient times, when a woman was a nida, she would not live in the house. She would have to go to a special quarantine hotel. Anyone that was a nida, arois, you're going to contaminate the house. So they would go to a different house for a nida, contaminated, pushed away. So I told you that it means to contaminate. So the opposite of contamination means purification. Rashi is not working with that approach. Rashi says something very simple. Lemei nida means water of sprinkling. Nida does not mean tar, does not mean tame. We're not discussing the result. The simple translation of lemei nida, water that you throw, water that you cast. Next, ulfi ulfi hilchoisav kara kosav chatos. Now Rashi goes out as a chatos. See, this is a chatos. Leshoin chitu. Kipshutai. The word chatos means purification. Okay, let me read you what it says here. Parshas Chukas. Pasuk, we're up to here. Pasuk Tes. Lemeni de Rashi here. Okay, this is Lemei Haz. Okay, Chatasi, Lashon Chitui. The word Chitui literally means purification, pure. Okay, that's the simple interpretation. But Ulefim Kipshutoi, Chatas, according to Rashi, the word Chatasi here in this pasuk is not the typical use of the word. Typically, when we say, use the word Chatas, it means this is a korban Chatas. This is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, it's Kodshe Kodoshim, it is Shritasin Bat Sofoin. You must do the shechita on the north side. It has to be eaten only by kohanim. It can only be eaten one day and one night. Ordinarily, the word chatas connotes a very specific type of animal sacrifice. However, over here, when it says chatas, that's not what it means. This is not a sacrifice. The blood is not being applied to the mizbeach. It's not being brought into even one of the machanos. This whole procedure is taking place chutz mishalosh machanos, outside the Azara, outside the Harabayis, outside Yerushalayim. How can you call this a korban chatas? This has nothing to do with the korban chatas. There's no part of this animal ends up inside the Beis HaMikdash. How can you call it korban chatas? So what then does it mean chatas? It means this procedure is a procedure that leads to purification. Now, what's very dangerous with what I told you is that the Gemara does make drashos that tell us that the paraduma is called a korban. And how do you know it's called a korban? Because of this very pasuk, chatas hi. It's called a chatas. And since chatas throughout the Chumash always refers to a sacrifice that brings atonement for a specific sin, and the same exact term is used in reference to paraduma, that indicates that even though the paraduma is offered outside Gimel Machanos and violates every single rule of Korbanos, nevertheless the pasuk still considers it to be a sacrifice of atonement. That's a drush. That is a drusha. But Rashi is telling you the pshat. Al derech pshat, you cannot say such a thing because this violates all the laws of Korban. Therefore, the word here, chatasi, is a unique expression, which means that this is a process of purification. And then he goes on to say the Medrash, Lufi Midrasha Karakos of Chatas, why is it called Chatas? Loima Shehi Kikodoshim, like we said before, that it's like, it does mean it is a Karban Chatas, it's like a Chatas, Le'oser Behana, that you're not allowed to derive benefit from any portion of this animal. Once the animal has been set aside to be a paraduma, you're not allowed to have any private personal benefit, not from the ash. After they transform the para into ash, the person needs ash for medicine. There are medicinal properties that are found in ash. You're not allowed to use this ash for your own private benefit, just like a person not to have benefit from a korban chatas. Okay, now let's look at the Targum. The Targum, Pasuk Tes, says, V'yichnosh gevar d'chei, a man that is pure, he shall gather. Eis efer haparo yos kitma. Efer means, kitma is smoke, ash, the product of smoke, d'tarta. Now here is a very important word. V'hiniach. The word that the Targum selected for v'hiniach means the yatsna, in lashon of tsanua. That's not what the pasuk. The word the hiniach, means deposited. The yatsna has a connotation of put away in hiding. It should be tsanua, an isha tsanua, a woman who is modest. This ash shall be hidden away in a special location. Where did the Targum get that from? obviously that's part of the Messiah. The word Veiniach can be very simply translated, and probably the Targum does translate elsewhere the word Veiniach with a different translation. You put it on the shelf, you put it in public. No. Viyatzna. It should be put away delicately in a secret location, Mibara Lemashrisa, outside the Machane, Bemakim Tahar, Ba'asar Dechin, holy in the place that's Tahar, Usehei V'Hayisa, at Usehei, La'adas B'nei Yisrael Lemishmeres, L'chnishto D'nei Yisrael Lematara. Lematara means for safekeeping. L'mei Nida Chatos Hi. Now here he says L'mei Adoyusa, water of sprinkling. And the word Chatosa is not such a simple word. Let me read you what it says over here in this sefer, which has all the elaboration on the Targum. Palak Chukas, here we go. Pasuk Tes. Okay, here in Pasuk Tes, it says over here, Chatosa. Now, what's unusual? Normally, it appears that he's coming to disagree with Rashi. Because Rashi said word chatos here means chitui. Chitui. Chitui means purification. The Targum then should have said chitui. He actually should have said the word, that he should have left out the suf. The fact that the Targum added the suf indicates that he holds no. The para aduma is indeed a real carbon chatos. Because the way the Targum ordinarily translates the word carbon chatos is chatosa. And if Rashi here is telling us, no, this is not a carbon chatos. This is not a carbon chatos because it violates every single rule of a carbon chatos. Therefore, when it says chatosi, it means that this is a process of purification. If the Targum would be agreeing to Rashi, then the Targum should say chituhi, which means this is a process of purification. The fact that the Targum did not say chitu, but the Targum said chatosa, like the way he translates every time there is a carbon animal that is a carbon chatos, indicates that he disagrees, that the pashut pshat of the pasuk is the para aduma is indeed a carbon chatos. Okay, so this, we have a lot of chidushim here. We have chidushim Rashi.
What purpose of the carbon chatos?
To atone for the para aduma, for the chet ha'egel. The chet ha'egel. It is a communal carbon chatos that is offered every couple of generations to atone for the sin of Klal Yisrael that they have done by worshipping the Egel. There's a chatos you bring when a person by mistake is mechalel Shabbos. There's a chatos a person brings when he's nichshel in arayos. And there's a chatos the Klal Yisrael brings to atone for the chet ha'egel. So it is called a korban chatos. Rashi strongly disagrees. That's not the pshat. It cannot mean that. It has to then mean that this is a process of purification. I acknowledge that you can't ignore the Gemara. The Gemara does say that it's a chatos. That's only a drush to teach you that the ash is osur behana. So we take out of this pasuk a lot of yesodos. Number one, we take out this beautiful chazal, which I don't know where the makar comes. The ash was divided into three parts. One was given to the kohanim to distribute to Klal Yisrael. One was put in a mishmeres. The pasuk here is describing the mishmeres on the chel. What was the purpose? I don't know. I really don't know. It was on display. It was on display in a glass cage. People should appreciate it. And the third is an incredible limud hamusar. It's put away for the next Kohen Gadol. That when he will bring the next in the series of Poros, he will first pay homage to his predecessor. And then we learned the word Vihiniach is Vyatzna. when this ash is put away, it's put away below tsunua. And we learned the word chatos machlekes rashi in the Targum. Is chatos a process of purification, or is this a carbon chatos? And the word fine. Okay, let's leave it with that. Next pasuk yud. Let's move ahead. Pasuk yud. Pasuk says, turn the page. Now we're going out to purify the person. The one that's going to gather the ash, he shall first wash. He has to, after this process is over, when they burnt the paraduma, the person that was involved in gathering the ash and putting it away in three locations, he has to now wash his clothing, meaning he has to be toivel his clothing in the mikvah. Why? Because he becomes an av hatuma, and the rule is if a person is an av hatuma, his clothing become a rishon latuma. So the clothing needs to go into the mikvah, and he himself is an av hatuma. He also must go into the mikvah v'tomei ad aref, and he will be tomei until the evening herev shemesh. Just because you go to the mikvah does not mean you're done. When you go to the mikvah, you are reduced from an av to a sheni, and when the sun sets, then the tumah, the sheni, dissipates. This procedure of ha'isal of Yisrael, it shall be for the Jewish people. V'lager hagar b'seicham l'chukas elam for a chuk, a law forever. Why here do we mention the ger? This is a general question. Someone asked me last Shabbos, if you study the entire Torah, look, we have Taryag mitzvahs. All of the Taryag mitzvahs can be found in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. From the Taryag mitzvahs, how many of them does the Torah emphasize shall also be for the gerim? A ger tzedek is chayiv in every single one of the Taryag mitzvahs, no different than a regular Yisrael. No different. 100% the same. So why then does the Torah emphasize, and let's say, I'm making up a number now, let's say 25 mitzvahs. From the 613 mitzvahs, you will discover 25 of the 613, the Torah says, this is the halacha for you and all the gerim also. The gerim also are chayiv in this mitzvah. What? Why not? A Jew is a Jew. There's no exception to the rule. Why, when it comes to, let's say, 25 mitzvahs, is there an emphasis that the gerim are also chayiv in the mitzvahs? Obviously, these mitzvahs, the Torah does emphasize the ger, it's necessary, because if not for the Torah emphasizing, you could make a mistake and think, I'm exempt. And what's the classic, simple reason why they would be exempt? Because why, according to Unkelus, this is a carbon chatas to atone for the chait of the egel. The egel. A ger was not present by the egel. Okay, he's not a descendant. He's not a blood descendant of anyone that was present at the time of the egel. So he does not need to be to this carbon. Maybe when he becomes contaminated to the dead, he can just go to the mikvah and he's done. He doesn't need to have the ash of the para aduma sprinkled upon him, because I am not a partner in this crime. My Zayde was not standing at Har Sinai and did not worship the Egel 40 days later. No, doesn't matter. You're part of the club. You're part of the club. There are no exceptions. You have to follow the rules, even if the rules do not apply to you. You have to wear a mask, even though it's not no gimme. Why should I have to wear a mask? If I already had Corona 2 times and I have antibodies that are off the charts, so why should I have to go follow the rules? Loy plug. You're right. Technically, you don't. But if you're gonna break the rules, you're gonna create a bad impression.
Who is this rule for? This pre-base.
The person who is. There are two parts of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is describing the assistant, the segan kohen gadol on Har HaZeisim has an assistant. He himself is an assistant, and the assistant has an assistant. Isn't that funny? It's a very funny thing. What? Is he a Kohen? Good point. Doesn't say anywhere that he's a Kohen. Does not say anywhere that he is a Kohen. You're right. It does not make.
He's up there. How does he get up there?
he's not a Kohen.
He walks up. What's the problem? It's Harazesim. What's the problem? Harazesim is a cemetery. What's the problem going there? What's the problem going there? It's a mountain. You go up there. Big deal.
They go the other side.
What other side? This is, ever you go to Harazesim? I got a tour. We went. We both went with that guy, that prepper. That guy. That guy is crazy.
I didn't go to the mikveh.
What? Why do I have to go to the mikveh? Why do I have to go to the mikveh?
I'm proving your point.
But you're not going to the Harabayas. Going to the Harazesim. Harazesim is not the Harabayas. It's outside Yerushalayim. It's Mechutz Legil Machanoitz. What are you talking about? So it says the Koy, the Skan Koyin Gadol, is present. He watches the Shechita. He, the Koy, the Skan, sprinkles the blood but does not burn the Parah. The assistant does the Shechita. The assistant burns the Parah. The assistant collects the ash. The assistant breaks up the ash into three parts. He delivers each portion where it needs to be. And the Kohen Gadol, all he has to do is he has to do the Zerika of the blood seven times. And he has to watch with his eyes to make sure it's completely burnt. That's it. And it says that this procedure shall be done for all generations. And even the gerim are partners in this mitzvah, in this process, in this mitzvah. And I guess what it means is in using the ash, the product of this procedure, to bring Tyra. Let's see Rashi before we're out of time. There is no Rashi. What does the Targum say? V'chibes. V'chibes means v'tzaba. V'tzaba. This is always a touchy issue. What does it mean, v'tzaba? Okay, we're going to learn now. It means simply to clean, which means to go to mikvah. The clothing must be immersed in the mikvah. Now here it says ho'oseif, dechonesh. Now there are different girsos. Okay, Targum has different girsos. Over here, our girsos, there are two girsos, either dechonesh or demachnesh. What is the difference? What is the difference between dechonesh and demachnes? Over here in this sefer, dechonesh. They don't even mention another girsa. Very interesting. This is the big expert, this sefer. And only art was two years, so it's a fine. Let's go further. Pasig in the Targum, Yos Kitma, the ash, the Tarta, Yos Levu Shohi, he has to clean his clothing. Vihei Misoav, he will be Tomei Ad Ramsha. Ramsha means the evening. Now there's one important word over here, Sehei Levnei Yisrael, Vilager, Uli Giyoira, Hagor. Oh, now this is very important. What does the Targum say? The Targum says, now how would the art scroll translate this pasuk? The lager, a convert, hagor, who lives. Right, the word gor, ger vitoyshav onochi imochem. I am a sojourner. Is that the right word? I'm a sojourner. You're living here temporarily. I have a green card. Okay? If you're a citizen, you're a toishav. If you have a green card, you're a ger. But it means to live in the land. Shocking, shocking targum. That's not how you translate the words. V'lager hagar ulegiyoira diyiskayar. The convert who converts. It doesn't mean the ger that lives in your midst. The convert who has converted. B'soicham b'nehoin l'kiyam olam, forever and ever. Now what is the deeper meaning of this very interesting word? Okay, it means, it doesn't really explain over here, it means he was mekabel upon himself, the das maisha. It's a very powerful word. No, this the geirus. Actually, so the Kohen came out with a very good sefer. I really should buy it. A very good sefer. Hilchos geirim. It's all amazing stuff. It's a very complicated topic to be mekabel a ger, all the laws of ger, of when you accept a ger, when you don't, this and that. And these words here are amazing because it's coming to tell you that the Parah Aduma, it's more shayach to a ger than it is to a regular Jew from birth. Why? Because when a ger converts, what in essence is he doing? He makes a commitment. I commit myself to observe all the mitzvahs. I'm mekabel upon myself to be observant of all the Taryag mitzvahs. Para Aduma wants that. When you make the Para Aduma, in essence, the Targum is hinting to us, it's a renewal of our vows. There are only 9 times a Para Aduma was offered, was prepared in Klal Yisrael. Only 9 times. You don't renew your vows every year. Yeah, you know, by the Goyim, they renew their vows. They do after, you know, if it's a good marriage, they renew their vows after 50 years, 30 years, 20, whatever it is. Para Aduma, the Targum is hinting to us, is where Klal Yisrael renews their commitment to observe the laws of the Torah. And if there's one person in Klal Yisrael that identifies with that theme of committing yourself, it's the Ger. Because the Ger was not obligated. And the way he became Jewish was he committed himself to observe the mitzvahs of the Torah. And here the pasuk is telling him, according to the Targum, this is the Ger that lives. Ulegiyara de Yiskayar, that converts. Ah, now we have a much greater appreciation of why the Torah emphasizes Gerus in Para Aduma. It's hinting to us, Para Aduma is a renewal of our commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful night. Be well. Thank you for coming, learning with me.
Hi, Rabbi Levine.
Be well.
Do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Yes. So, you made a point today with ash that has disgusting elements in it. I didn't understand, because ash is really a new product.
I mean, yesterday, the Peresh. The Peresh. The Peresh from yesterday?
When did we...
You're talking about today or yesterday? That the ash is you burn the flesh, the bones, the meat, and the waste, the excrement, and it turns into ash. So I said yesterday, if someone took dog waste and burned it in the fire and produced dog waste into ash, and they say sit down and they mix it with water and they sprinkle it on your head, would you be very happy? I don't think you'd be very pleased for someone to sprinkle the waste, animal waste. What?
It's a new product.
Okay, you're right. It's a new product, but there's one thing that's very clear in halacha. Perception carries a lot of weight, even though under a microscope it's a new product.
But it's like the gelatin. The gelatin becomes kosher.
Gelatin is not a food. The gelatin, we can be more... Okay, you're going from one topic to another topic. They're the person, it's a tzarech refua, there are a lot of leniencies you can combine together. But halacha carries a lot... Perception carries a lot of weight. If 2 minutes ago I saw a clump of animal waste, and this animal waste has now been burnt, they put it in a furnace, and they now take out the animal waste, and now it's ash. Okay, you're right. I know. We all know. We're all educated people and living in the 21st century. And if you'll go into a laboratory and you'll examine the ash. It's a new element. There's no toxins. There's nothing to worry about. It's perfectly fine. But to a human being, if 2 minutes ago this clump was human waste, it's disgusting for me to take this. To take this product and sprinkle it over my head. No, perception also counts. And the Torah goes out of its way to say that you do it, because if not for this pasuk, you would say that it's no different than any other korban. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did not offer the waste on the Mizbeach. The waste was removed and thrown in the garbage. Like a tahira. Rachman Litzlan, when a person dies, Achamev Eshem, when a person dies, passed away, what is the Tahara? What do they do with the Tahara? They remove from inside the body waste. They take their hands with gloves, I don't know the whole procedure, they remove waste. Once a person, you say, how can you possibly do that? I also asked that question. They explained to me, I made an appointment, I'm supposed to go one day to watch Tahara, eventually, but But once a person dies, the muscles of the body completely are, they're done. The only reason why a person does not release waste is because the muscles and the body is just an amazing thing. It contracts and prevents waste from just flowing out of the body. But when a person is no longer alive, the muscles are completely released. And the way it was explained to me is it's no big deal. The people who do the tahara, they can just easily remove the waste from the inside of the body. They have to be trained to
have. Rabbi Levine, I've done them, so yeah. That's really what's done. Usually, a lot of the waste is already released by the condom.
By that time.
So.
Well, also today. With today, unfortunately, today due to modern medicine, 95% of people who pass away have been in a hospital or in a hospice. So when they die, their bodies are already empty. They're just being hydrated. There's not much to take out. But Rachmana Litzlan, a person who dies, let's say suddenly, then it's a whole different story. Then it's not so simple. It's a whole different story. So why? Because a person is like a carbon. A carbon, when they offer the carbon mizbech, they remove the waste, and the waste goes in the garbage. A human being at the time of kavur, they do not bury human waste. Human waste is removed from the body the best that they can. Not every chevre kadisha has the skills to do it perfectly. But it is removed. And during Corona, I would imagine they didn't do it. I don't know. I have no idea. Who knows what went on during Corona? Did they do these things? But a para aduma, you would think, of course, the same thing. You do a shechita, you shech the para aduma, and now you do a zrika, and now you're going to burn it. So before you burn the para aduma, you would assume you don't want to burn the waste. You don't want to go sprinkle on someone's head. Not it's going to be the basar, the bones, and the waste. No, I'm not going to burn the waste. So you'll take the waste out. The Torah goes out of its way to tell you, no. You burn it all together. The S, what was the pasuk? You burn the saraf es apara leinav es oira, the es besara, the es dama, al pir shah, together with the waste. That's a chiddush. That's quite a big chiddush. Okay. Have a wonderful evening. Be well.
You remember we learned about the 24 things? I think it was in Yeshaya, you told us they adorned
the 24 piece of jewelry. A woman, a kala.
Is that the idea that a kala is supposed to get
24 Tanakh. A Talmud Chacham is supposed to know 24 all 24 Svarim. The Chav Dal Tzivi Tanakh, yeah.
Yeah, where do I want to tell somebody about that. Their daughter is getting married.
To buy her 24 pieces of jewelry?
I know, I want to give them the source that for a kala getting dressed up.
In Parshas Kisisa. The source is in Parshas Kisisa. Let me tell you the pasuk right now. Parshas Kisisa.
Which book is Kisisa?
Shemos. Chumash Shemos. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasik Yud Ches.
Okay.
Perek Lamed Aleph Yud Ches, Vayitain El Moshe Kecha Loy Soy Lidaberi Itoy. Yud Zayin, does Rashi say anything here? Kecha Loy Soy. Okay, look in the Rashi, the towards the middle of Rashi, towards the end. Kikalosoi, like a bride. Kikalosoi, ksiv, choser. Shenimsra loy Torah bimatana kikalal chosan. Like a bride. to a chasan, shloha yachal ilmoid kula bizman muad kazeh, then davar acher, ma kala miska shetes, bechof dalit kishutin, just like a bride gets dressed up in 24 ornaments, hein hu amudim b'sefer yishai, av talmud chacham tzach liyos baki bechof dalit sefarim. Okay, so it's kisisa, Perik Lamid Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches, the end of the Rashi, the very end of the Rashi. A bride.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening. Thank you for coming.
Good night, everybody. I got to run the show. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Servus Laser. In a minute.